Welcome back to the Blue Line Patrol podcast. I'm Michelle. That's Kevin.
What up?
Hockey season is here.
Hooray!
Yay! Better than Christmas.
There's NHL hockey on my TV right now.
There is NHL hockey on. The Red Wings don't play till tomorrow night, but there is hockey on, and it's real hockey.
Yep. Watching Toronto and Montreal, and unfortunately, they both can't lose.
Yay!
Yay!
We can always root for the Meteor.
That's true.
It never seems to work, but, you know, it's an option.
It's got to work eventually, right? Law of averages.
Eventually, if we wait long enough, a meteor might strike Earth.
Fingers crossed.
All right. So, I think the last time we podcasted was the end of the preseason. We had two games left. We don't really need to talk about those.
Yeah, we're just going to pretend those didn't happen. So
it's the preseason.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Whatever.
Here's a preseason. Fuck yeah! For the first two games. Then, all right. Then the last two games. Get this over with already. It's horrible.
It's great to see, you know, the prospects and some of the young guys get out there and get to skate and see them in a little action, but...
Yeah. It needs to go away.
Definitely, definitely ready for the regular season to start.
Yep.
So, the Red Wings, we pretty much know what the team is going to look like, at least for the first probably couple of weeks going into the season.
Outside of, unless any new injuries are going to happen, I'd say that's a safe bet.
Yep, so you want to cover the Red Wings had to get roster and salary cap compliant as of yesterday.
Yep.
And so they made a few roster moves, kind of temporary, just delaying the inevitable later. But you want to run down the list of that real quick?
Yeah, we can talk about, I guess, Corey Emerson and his wild couple of days. So, I think it was Sunday he got placed on waivers to be claimed. He would have to have been claimed by noon on Monday, which out of the 30-some players that were put on waivers, only one was claimed. Which is not all that shocking, since these are guys who, after the preseason, weren't wanted by their teams. So...
Yeah, and most of the teams are kind of in the same spot the Red Wings are. Not necessarily being over their roster limit, but, you know, they had all their young guys and prospects come up and play for the preseason, and then it's time to cut people down. So everybody pretty much had more players than they needed.
Yep.
Anyway, so I think that's probably why Emerton was able to skate through, because he's not a crap player. He's not great.
I would say if you had all 30 NHL fourth line centers, he's probably right in the middle. He's a average fourth line center, and that's all he'll probably ever be.
Yep.
So he's there. It's like, I don't worry when I see him on the ice, but I'd rather have someone like, you know, who's a little more dangerous out there. Yeah,
speaking of danger, they did put Helm on long-term IR.
Yep.
Reports are that he actually kind of skated in a couple practices recently.
He actually, I read on the Twitters, is doing actual penalty kill practice, which means he's not just doing laps and shooting by himself. I don't think he's been cleared for contact yet. But if he's doing actual game situation drills, that's a huge positive.
That is. I think that's probably the most progress that we've heard from him since his one game back.
And I also read that he's lifting weights again. Because remember a couple weeks back, he says, well, I'm skating. This is before the groin issue. He said he was skating, but he wasn't really working out.
Right.
So he said he's working out. He's not up to the full weight yet. But if he's at least using those muscles and they're getting better, it's an extreme positive sign.
That is good. With long-term IR, they have to miss a minimum of 10 games?
10 games, and I'm not sure if it's and or 24 days, but it's a good chunk of time. Pretty sure 10 games. So if you play 3 games a week on average, you're missing almost a month.
Which isn't I mean, that's not unexpected with Helm. If you look at, he's making progress, but he still has a long way to go
Oh, yeah, definitely.
before he's ready for game shape. So putting him on long-term IR takes him off the roster and gives us some cap relief.
Yes, it does.
And the other player on long-term IR, they put Patty Eaves.
Oh, poor Patty.
I know.
But
That kid, he just has the shittiest luck lately.
well, at least this time he wasn't playing Nashville when it happened.
Ugh.
Yeah, I know. Too soon.
So, yeah, it was
But I mean, he's
Jeff Hogan's fault, and
yeah, well, we like Hogan, so it's Dan Clary's
we
fault.
do.
Anyway,
We're shifting that blame.
yeah, so he's not even skating yet, so kind of makes sense, I
Yeah, but it
guess, to
was.
put him on long-term IR because he hasn't skated now in a week and a half, so even when he does skate, it will take him, I'm guessing, a week of practice just to get up to speed again.
I would
Because
say at
he.
least, I think they originally estimated, what'd they say, like 4 to 6 weeks?
Well, 2 to 4, but with a sprained MCL, it's gonna be closer to 4 to 6.
Yeah, I think that
Because
would be.
he had a sprained knee, sprained ankle and a knee. So I mean, that means he, even with the knee, maybe you could do a little bit more, but with two injuries, you really can't do much for a while. So wouldn't shock me to just have them take their time with him just to make sure he's healthy.
Yeah, which I want them to do.
The Wings have enough fourth line guys in the system who can play for a couple games, especially this early in the year. It's better to make sure the guys are healthy. We all remember the stupid Dan Cleary. I think the last full season, he was so hurt in November, but they wouldn't sit him because he didn't want to have his little surgery that would be out for a month. And by the end of the year, he was so useless, he was horrible. So you'd rather get these injuries taken care of now, and then be fully healthy and yada yada yada.
Yes, and yes. Jordan Tootoo and Jonas Gustafsson went on short-term IR. And I haven't heard anything about Tootoo
I
or his
heard
injury.
the second game of the year, Friday, is a possibility, but no one knows anything for sure.
And then with Monster, with the groin injury, that's kind of a big deal for
A
goalies.
little bit.
You know, just a little. So
Yeah.
I would imagine that'll probably take a little while to fully heal.
Like, he got hurt. What was that, about a week ago? I don't remember the exact day, but it wasn't like it was yesterday.
You know, it's really difficult to keep track of all these injuries and when they happened.
Yeah, let's just say he's not gonna be back tomorrow. I read he skated in practice today, but I'm not sure how much. And it'll take him at least a couple weeks to make sure that he's confident in that. So, wouldn't shock me to see him out for the first 2 or 3 weeks of the year and give Mrazek a few games. Because Mrazek.
Mrazek, everything.
Yes.
So, with putting two players on long-term IR, like I mentioned, we get cap relief and we get they come off the roster. And to go along with the long-term IR thing, the Wings made a couple other moves. They sent Mrazek down to Grand Rapids. And they recalled Jared Coro. And they also called Xavier Ouellette up. And do you want to explain? Because the way this works is counterintuitive. Because both Coro and Ouellette make more money. Coro makes more than Mrazek. And for example, Ouellette makes more than Almquist. So they called up the two guys that make more money in order to get more cap relief by
Yes,
putting players on
they did.
long-term IR.
No, but yeah, I'm gonna kind of quote Cap Geek here. So, Michelle, this is for Michelle. Put this link in the post for the podcast so people can click on it. It's pretty stupid how this works. The salary cap's at 64.3 million. That's the limit this year. But let's just make this number 64 for math's sake. So it's 64 million. If your cap is set with everyone. It's at 62 million, and you have a guy who makes 4 million a year who's hurt. You only get the 2 million extra. So, because you only get the relief that you go over the cap. So if the cap's 64, and you're at 62 and the guy makes 4 million, you only get the 2 million extra to go to 66. If the guy makes 4 million, but you're already at 64 million, you get 4 million of relief, so you go to 68 million as your quote unquote salary cap. So the goal here is to be as close as possible to the salary cap before we put guys on long-term IR. So if you're at 50, if you're at 63.9 instead of 62.9, that's counterintuitive because you think you want to have less money on the cap to call up more players, but you want to have as much as possible on the roster when you submit, when it was submitted on Monday. That probably made no sense at all, but read the CapGeek article and it'll make even less sense.
No, I think you did a good job of explaining that. Basically, the team gets more cap relief the higher they were over the cap when they placed the player on long-term injured reserve, which
Is stupid.
seems kind of like you're rewarding the team for disobeying the rules, but
Pretty much. I think
whatever.
I saw in Elliot Friedman's 30 Thoughts column, he said a lot of people don't like that because it's stupid. And like team like Philadelphia, they've got Mark Savard. Oh no, that's about Boston has Mark Savard and Philly has Chris Pronger, who they're retired for the most part, but they can't officially retire, so then number one, they don't get paid. But they're still on the roster getting paid, and especially with Chris Pronger, because he has a 35 and plus contract, so he doesn't come off the books if he retires. So if he retires, that four, I think his cap is about 4.9 million on the books. If he doesn't retire, they can on the opening day roster have him on there, and then the day after put him on long-term IR and get that 4.9 million back. So it's basically a giant clusterfuck. Or as I like to say, fuster cluck. And the NHL is pretty stupid.
So the Wings also sent somebody else down to Grand Rapids, and
Oh, I'm crying.
I know Gustav Nyquist, because he still has 2 games before he loses his waiver exemption. So basically, he only got sent to Grand Rapids because we can do so without exposing him to waivers,
Yep.
and it gets us one more person off the roster
Yeah,
temporarily
that's the true story.
until we can make some other shifts. And I know it sucks to see, Nyquist sent to Grand Rapids, but the explosion that I saw of people absolutely freaking out, like assuming that Nyquist is going to stay in Grand Rapids like forever. We haven't even played a game yet.
Well,
And
there is that 1% possibility. So,
yeah.
fuck this. Well, I mean, I'm the biggest Nyquist slappy there is, and I still understand why it had to be done. I
It
mean,
absolutely sucks.
yeah, I mean, they tried to put Emerton down, but they need a center. Babcock and Holland love old dudes. And there's really, unfortunately, since they couldn't trade 2-2, and no one really wants Samuelson or Emerton. There's really no other options, unfortunately.
Yeah, and there's not, I mean, there really isn't any takers for much as far as trading right now, because everybody's got stock rosters and
Yeah.
they probably have the healthiest rosters they'll have all season.
Yep. Yeah, I
So
would like I was telling someone at work today, because Emerton can now, I think, play 9 games, and he can still be sent down. If he plays 12 games and then they want to send him down, he has to go through waivers again. And in 10 or 12 games, don't be surprised if a team is already down 2 centers for the year. They also someone will pick him up for a short time. So he has more chance later than he does now because everyone's healthy.
I definitely agree. And he's so cheap that if somebody was down the center, they could pick him up and use him when they needed him and then
Then they could just
basically
wave
do
him.
whatever with him.
Yeah, they could waive him or cut him or do whatever they want because his cap is only 533,000, so there's no penalty to put him in the minors. So yeah, he'll be in the NHL this year, I think, just because of his cap hit, no matter where he ends up at the end of the year, because I don't think it'll be with the Wings.
We've got enough other players that.
I think Glenn Denning already is outperforming Emerton, and I would say Sheehan is as well.
Yeah, and with both of those players, they still have room to get better. And with Emberton, I think what you see is what you get.
Yeah, Emerton, he's been in the league, I think, 3 to 4 years now. He might get a little better, but he's is what he is.
Some teams he could maybe do a third line center, but I think that's about his.
It's called bad teams.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So, come on, Calgary.
We all know the Wings have a very high standard, and
Yep.
you might be a fourth line player with the Wings, and there are some crappy teams. You might be able to, move up in the world.
Hooray!
There is one player that was not sent down to Grand Rapids because he is would have to go through waivers. In one, Tomas Tatar.
Correct.
So I read today on Twitter, was it today or yesterday,
Probably
that
both.
he said he thought he was going to be a healthy scratch tomorrow when the Wings open their season. It's not a guarantee. Who knows what'll happen between now and then, but.
But today's practice, he had the gray sweaters on, which were also worn by Tutu and Helm, which pretty much means you're injured or you're not playing.
Yep, so he might not be in the lineup, but he is with the team. And I mean he's not gonna go anywhere because he would never, ever, 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 ever pass through waivers.
No, a lot of teams would try to claim him. A 22-year-old guy who can has the ability to score goals and is an RFA after this year. Yeah, he ain't going. He would get picked up really quick by probably the worst team in the league. So he wants to play for Calgary.
Ooh.
Pretty much. So,
Go play with Hudler and Joey Mack.
oh yeah. So, I mean, it kind of sucks for him, but with the roster situation, and Babcock always does this, and how that's their philosophy. They want the kids to earn their place, I guess. I mean, it's hard to say that because I think we can both agree that him and Nyquist played better than some of these veterans in the preseason, and they probably do deserve to be on the team. But at the same time, the NHL doesn't, you don't just get a spot because the fans think you're supposed to. Those
Right.
guys know a lot more about hockey than I do. So as much as I don't necessarily like these moves, they know more than me, so I guess we sort of have to trust them. Is that how this works?
Yeah, it kind of is. And especially with Tatar, I'm kind of like I can see both sides of the argument, but I guess where I ultimately fall is, and one of the quotes that I know a lot of people were harping on yesterday from Babcock was when he said that, if a rookie and a veteran are basically tied for position, the veteran's going to get the nod to play. And I mean that makes sense from a business standpoint because if you come in and you're trying to take somebody's job, which is, what Tatar has to do. He has to come in, he has to force the Wings to look at him and go, look, Tatar took this other person's job. He was better, and force the Wings to put him and keep him in the lineup. But if you're coming into a job and you only do as well as the person who already holds that job, you're not going to get it.
Pretty much.
So I think Tatar's done well, and I thought he did really well in camp and the preseason. And if I had the choice, I would take back a couple of the signings from last summer, and we wouldn't be having this conversation. But,
Can't really do that now.
right, and there's no point in me
No.
screaming about it. What Tatar has to do, though, is when he does get in the lineup, he needs to make sure that he has the right attitude about it, and he goes out there and continues
He has to
to
just
work his
play
ass
good.
off.
He has to play good. That's all there is to it.
Right.
If someone will get hurt in the first couple of weeks, or someone might have a slight groin pull and he might play 2 games, He has to play those two games and play really well. Not just score goals. I mean, that would help, but even he just has to play good. I mean, defensively, forechecking, he has to do his job and tell the coach, well, I really can't pull him out of the lineup. He's doing too good.
Right.
Kind of like last year when in the playoffs, the third line with Anderson, Lindqvist, and Bruner, when some of the veterans started coming back, that line was playing so good you couldn't take him out. So that's what he has to do.
Exactly. And I hope that he does.
I think
But it's,
we all know where I stand on this, so Team
but
Tallquist.
he definitely has to. It's still his responsibility to do everything, absolutely everything that he can to show them, to show Ken Holland and to show Mike Babcock that they have to keep him in the lineup. Otherwise, they won't. You know, if he's doing just as good as one of the other guys that already has a spot, he's not stealing that spot, and he does have to come in and steal it.
Yes, he does.
So we'll see when he gets his opportunities. I hope that he forces them to keep him in the lineup, because I want to see him do well, and I want to see the team do well, and you
Let's hope that he takes over Danny Cleary's job. What?
know.
Yeah, pretty
So
much.
probably we can speculate a little bit on the lines that we'll probably see, at least
Yeah,
to
so,
start the
well, we
season
can,
tomorrow.
yeah, the lines they have been practicing with pretty much have been the same. You got the Datsyuk, Zetterberg, Ablukator on the top, Franzen, Weiss, Alfredsson. Then you got the exact opposite of two kids and a goat with two goats and a kid with Cleary, Bertuzzi, Anderson. Then the fourth line right now is Stupid Samuelson, Emerton, and Miller. So, I mean, and kind of those all, I guess, make sense to a certain extent. I mean, your fourth line's kind of like, well, two guys no one really likes, and then Miller. But the only reason I'm pretty confident Samuelson's in the lineup is because he's a right-handed shot, and the Wings don't have any right-handed defensemen in their lineup. So for the power play, it is, I do agree, you should have a right-handed shot on the power play. I just wish it was someone who knew how to shoot accurately at all.
I am kind of, I was a little bit surprised and also kind of impressed that Samuelson's been relegated to the fourth line, because I don't think that he has earned or deserves to be on the top lines, and I was kind of worried that Babcock would stick him there anyway.
Wait, you mean Michelle, with all the goal he scored last year?
Well, to be fair, with all the games he played last year.
Yeah, he played like I think what, nine total? Four or
Yeah.
five in the regular season, then four or five in the playoffs.
And to be fair, after being injured that much of the season, it does take a, you know, you don't
Also,
come
to be
back
fair,
automatically.
when you're a really bad hockey player, you don't score that many goals. Point, Kevin.
Yeah,
Well,
moving on.
I think pretty much that everyone, even the Wings, know that Samuelson is not a top line player. I'm trying to throw out my hatred of him right now, but he's at best, I could say, if you're a scoring team, a third liner at complete best. Because he just doesn't have the speed anymore. He never was a speedster, but he could at least keep up. Well, he's 36 and broken. So he's never going to beat a defense in to the outside one on one. So he's just there basically. I think he'll get 4 or 5 minutes of even strength time a night, and he'll play the power play.
Yeah, and if he can be, I mean, if he can be effective on the power play, I'm not completely, you know, keeping him on the fourth line and not giving him top line minutes is good. And if he can be effective on the power play, then kind of make that his thing and limit his minutes and give it to other people at even strength who are better than him.
Yeah, so I ranted about this on Twitter just before we started, so we could probably talk about it. The power play lines. The first power play line on forward is Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and Franzen. And on the points, Cronwall and Alfredsson. I guess that makes sense for the most part, but I'm not a big fan of Franzen in front of the net. I know he's a big body, His strength is his shot. And he's got probably like one of the quickest releases in the league. And I would don't like him in front of the net because he doesn't get to use it. And also,
Yeah.
he's a lazy piece of shit and doesn't really go to the net a lot. I was being professional first.
I know last season they had Franzen practicing a little bit in front of the net. He did not look good. He did not look natural. And he's a big guy, but a lot of times with the size, he's not as agile.
No.
And that's what you have to be
And the
in
wings.
front of the net. Because if you just go and stand there, you're going to block the puck.
Yeah. And this is the Wings power play, at least the forwards they used to start last year. I think the first power play line that started last year was Hank Pavin Mule, and I believe Cronwall and White. So White was the right-hand shot. So, and that line, and you remember the power play at the start of last year was atrocious at best.
La 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 la. I don't know what you're talking
Yeah.
about. I don't remember.
So,
What's the
I.
second
Second.
power play unit they were running with?
Forwards are Weiss, Bertuzzi, and Cleary, and on the points, Kindle and Stupid Samuelson. Here's where I have a bigger issue because Cleary and Bertuzzi are, for all intents and purposes, extremely similar player. They both go to the net. They both have okay hands at times. Bertuzzi has a little better hands for the most part, obviously, but they serve the same role. So I think it's sort of redundant to have them both on the same line on the power play, don't you?
Yes.
I know you're Bertuzzi slappy, but we gotta be reasonable here.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't put them both on the same power play unit, and I would put Abby back on the power play. I would put him on with Datsyuk and Zetterberg on the power play because he's been doing well with it, and those three as a line have been clicking so well. And Abby can definitely do that net front better
Yes,
than
he can.
Franzen.
And another thing it doesn't do is it breaks up your lines less because you have eight forwards playing the power play over the 2 minutes. So if you don't score, it really limits who you can put out there afterwards. And then your line's going to be screwed up until the next whistle or a commercial break. So I would rather have, I think I would do what you do and keep Abby on the top line. And let's not even talk about not putting a four on the point. Babcock loves it. He's going to do it. It's one of those things like Gary Bettman is the commissioner or the salary cap. You don't like it, but you just kind of deal with it.
We're gonna have to reserve ourselves to waiting until Ouellette and Spruill both get to the NHL, and then the two of them can be
Yes.
on the power on they can man the 2 points because Spruill is the right shot.
And Sprolet. Anyway.
Yes.
So
So
this,
until then.
yeah. So I think we can both agree that Franzen should be on the second power play line with Weiss, and
Yes.
then you can put, if you want, Cleary or Bertuzzi there, depending on who's not hurt that week. So that way you still have a net front guy. Because Cleary is a decent net front guy. He's not great, but he's acceptable at it if his knees don't fall off. So I'm not completely against either one of them as a net front, but to have them both on the same line. I know Bertuzzi's okay in the corners, but
Yeah.
I just don't like him out there full time on the power play.
I think for that second power play unit, I would do Franz and Weiss, and I'd probably start with Cleary. Because I think as far as net front, and that's kind of what you're looking for, is you need that guy on the line to do the net front.
Yeah.
I think Cleary's actually better at it right now than Bertuzzi. I mean, Bertuzzi can do it, but he's kind of that bigger, kind of like I said with Mule, where just because he's big doesn't mean he's,
Good
quick and
at.
agile enough to jump out of the way of pucks.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because Bird's done it before, but clearly I would say you're right, it's a little better at it.
And you know that must be true if I'm taking Bertuzzi off the power play,
Yeah.
at least for now.
I mean, Bertuzzi could do it if someone was hurt. He's not, he could be horrible at it, but I think we'd both rather see Abby do it number one on the top line.
Oh,
So.
absolutely.
And as far as, I mean, Cronwall and Kindle, that just makes sense on the power play. Cronwall's the best on, I think he's probably the best at skating backwards and shooting in the league. And he can create good lanes. And Kindle impressed so much last year, but that just makes sense. I mean, Alfredsson, the game I was at when he played the power play and the point, he did really well, but it was one exhibition game. He's got a cannon for a shot. So, I mean, I don't really, I guess, hate that one that much. We all know how I feel about stupid Samuelson. So, I mean, it's like I said, he's not going to change it. You don't have any. Those are, as of right now, your only two right-handed shots in the lineup because Tutu's hurt.
Well, and when Eves comes back, I almost wonder, because before he got hurt actually doing power play practice. He was the net front guy.
Yeah, which I don't like him there either because he has too good of a shot.
Yeah, so put him on the point, because he's a right-handed shot.
Yeah.
And if you're going to put a forward on the point with a right-handed shot, I don't think he could be any worse than Samuelson.
You could not. Well, Jason Williams is close.
Well.
But, yes, to
Oh.
Babcock also put on the point. So,
And
my
there was
point.
Jiří Hudler.
And he wasn't even left-handed. He was left-handed. So, Babcock has a huge boner for putting forwards on the point. I get it when it's Sergei Fedorov, not when it's Jiří Hudler. Just a little bit of talent disparity there. Just a touch. Just a touch.
So, yeah, I guess if I was coach, I'd do Datsyuk, Zetterberg, and Abbey, Cronwall, and Alfredsson as the first power play unit. Then do Mühle, Weiss, Cleary, Kindle, and Eaves.
But if
I would put.
Eves is hurt, who do you put out there? Who'd you put out there tomorrow night and or tonight if you're listening to this on Wednesday morning? You don't have to have a right-handed shot out there.
I'm trying to think. You could put Drew Miller.
Worse than Samuelson. But I am still kind of surprised all this talk about the power play. Neither one of us has mentioned Smith yet. He was the power play guy in Grand Rapids. He's got, I mean, it's just, is he getting so bad where his, I just don't know. I think I'd rather have him play power play the penalty kill right now. Mean,
I kind of feel bad for him, but it just, I'm prepared that he's going to make me cry this season.
yeah.
And I mean, if you look at how long it took Erickson and Kindle to really come around, you know, I always say the defensemen take longer to mature and really blossom into good defensemen, but this is, it's painful. It's a really painful process.
Well, as I said, we talked about this before. We don't need to beat a dead horse. He hasn't even played a full year yet. We really can't judge him until after this whole year because he's probably going to suck at the start because he's had a horrible preseason. But give him a year to adjust, and then after middle towards the end of next year, that's when we'll know a lot of what we have, I guess.
Yeah,
After
that's
he's had a year and
probably.
a half to 2 full years in the lineup because he had the last full year we had, he played, I think, 10 or 15 games. And then last year, he got hurt, but he played most of the year. So this is his first full NHL season. So I don't want to hate people who are already throwing him under the bus. Give him, I mean, he's going to play, I think, more sheltered minutes this year with the Kaiser being better than he is defensively. So, I mean, because don't forget, Erickson spent a couple years as the number 5-6 guy. Took him a long time outside of that one cup run or the cup final run when he was really good as the number two. That was his coming out party. Then after that, he sucked for 2 years.
So let me ask you this. If Smith doesn't take some huge strides towards the end of next season, if we're still in this dear God, Brendan Smith makes me cry phase, does he start to get kindled?
Yes.
You know, do you start seeing maybe an Almquist or a Ouellette or a Sproule putting some pressure on him? And I mean, do you start seeing him maybe in a healthy scratch rotation?
He was healthy scratched a couple of times last year. And if he doesn't do better this year, nothing's to say they won't. If they have injuries in the cap space, they say, you know what? Smith's been sucking. Let's call up Almquist, Sproule, Ouellette, one of those guys, and give them a couple of games.
Because
It would not shock me if he doesn't improve even this year. And now, by the end of next year, if he's still bad, he might be gone, but that's way too early to say.
That's where,
Just
like,
so much potential there. That's what makes me upset. But we have to remind ourselves, he's only been in the league basically a year. Got to give him some time.
I think the pressure with so many good defensive prospects coming up, I mean, it's good for the team because it gives you options where you're not, you know, well, you suck, but we have to keep you in the lineup because we have nobody else.
Pretty much.
You know, in the near future, there will be other options, and they'll be, look, you get your
Any
poop in a group, or you can watch from the press box.
get your poop in a group.
The
I have never heard that before.
really?
Nope.
It's kind of the alternative to get your ducks in a row.
Yeah, I understand the meaning. I just never heard of get your poop in a group.
Well, the more you know. I'm glad that I could share that with you for your first time.
And now everyone knows what I just tweeted. Yeah. This is what happens when there's no games to discuss yet. We talk about pooping groups. I could talk a lot more now about this topic, but there might be a female that listens to this. I probably doubt it, but there could be a female. So I don't really want to do that. I'll tell you after the podcast.
Yeah, it's probably worth mentioning too that Kevin and I are both
Insanely,
pretty.
like, retarded and re idiots,
I was
and
gonna say really tired and overworked. But
oh,
thank you for
and
that.
that too, yeah. Let's just say, worked the first bit and second business day at work for me are like hell, and today's first business day and tomorrow's second business day. So I spent like 11 hours straight looking at numbers on computer screens today. Which is fun for like eight and a half, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm also training someone new at work, so I had to talk all day, which I hate talking to people. I know it's ironic I do a podcast, but like, ever train someone at work, you have to explain every little thing you do. Now you do this, now you do that, now you do this. And then even by 9 o'clock, I'm like, my voice is already starting to suck. I had a podcast tonight. God damn it.
I
So,
seem to just put him on a chair and roll him out the door.
yeah. Okay, this is also a hockey podcast, so we should stop talking about work and poop.
This is what happens when we wing it, guys.
Yeah, we had a rundown, but it was literally Emerton, Nyquist, Tatar. That's about it. Plus, we had to
Yeah.
keep this one short for other reasons that we need to get into, but.
Yeah. And we were going to talk about Griffin's things, but we don't really have any Griffin's news.
Nyquist is playing there. Hooray! Oh, fuck me.
They open their season, they start their season on Friday night. And.
And they play Saturday in Toronto.
Yeah.
And
Trana.
there probably won't be as many streams of their video of their games this year. Last year there were until the NHL started, and then there weren't anymore. So I might, when I'm watching the Wings game Friday, try to bring that game up on my computer, but I doubt I'll be able to find it. But yeah, so they'll
Okay.
have Yurko, they'll have Nyquist for hopefully not too long. Sheehan, Iron Hook, Polkinen. A lot of hopefully good players that we can hope a few of them eventually will make the Wings, but yeah.
Yeah, and it'll be very interesting to see how Ferk adjusts.
Yeah, I'm surprised he never got into a game in the preseason.
Yeah, I almost wonder. I mean, I know exhaustion was a big thing for him this off season because he didn't have a lot of an off season. Because they won the OHL championship or the Q,
The Memorial Cup,
yeah,
which is
that.
the overall Canadian Junior Hockey Championship. Do we need to explain that? I can do it in like two sentences. There's three junior leagues in Canada: the Western Hockey League, the Ontario Hockey League, and the Quebec League. At the end of the year, the winners of all three teams plus the host team have what's called the Memorial Cup, and they play for the CHL Canadian Hockey League Championship. And his team won it last year. Go Ferk!
Yeah, so they won that, and then he had, I want to say it was a couple weeks off, and then it was time for development camp. And he was absolutely gassed during development camp. And then there was
And
Bud
I think you said the same thing about Glendening because he just won the Calder Cup.
Yeah,
But when you only have
same.
2 weeks off and you've probably had some, certain alcoholic beverages in your body a lot, you probably aren't in top shape at that point.
Well, and I don't know how many games total Ferk played, but I know Glendening played over 100 games.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a lot of hockey to play and a lot of intense hockey for both of them to get the championships, then only have a couple weeks off. And then you come in for development camp and you go, 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 and then have a month off and then you're back for the prospects tournament.
Well,
And then you go, go, go.
HockeyDB tells me Martin Ferk played 56 regular season games and then 17 playoff games. So, played what, 73 games last year, which for a
That's
20 for a 20 well, he's only for a 19-year-old, that's a lot of games.
Yes.
Because the year before he only played 34 regular season games and 17 playoff games. So he was going from playing, 50 some games to playing a lot more than that.
And then right after the prospects tournament, you have a couple of days off and then training camp. And then preseason, which I'm sure he was doing all the practices and workouts and stuff, even though he wasn't playing games.
Yeah,
So
I'm just like, even that last game when they get to Toronto, I'm still surprised he didn't get a call up. But oh well, he's got
I
to,
was.
he just has to work harder now in the Griffins lineup, I guess.
And I have no proof of this either way, but there's also a possibility that maybe he was a little banged up
Yeah. Well,
or
speaking
had
of
an injury or
the
something.
Griffins news, I saw Ferraro got put on IR. Do you know what the hell happened to him? I have no idea.
I have no idea. All I know is we were looking around going, well, he didn't, why didn't he play in the last game? Because it was
Yeah.
pretty much all prospects. Like, why didn't Ferraro play? And then when the Griffins started their preseason games, he didn't play there either. And we're like, what's going on? And then they announced they put him on injured reserve. So I have no idea when or how or what.
Yeah, don't have a clue. So we're great hockey podcasters. So
We're just getting that information out. You know, people got to do their own work too.
So I guess if we hear, we'll find out. But and we obviously, if we find out, we'll inform.
Yes.
But until the Griffins don't really have as much coverage, I guess you'd call it, as the Wings do. And with all the Wings news happening now, they're not going to spend their time on a mid-level prospect. So,
Right, but we will keep our eyes and ears peeled.
I've got sources. Actually, I don't, but I can claim I do.
Sources. You can have sources as long as you cite your sources.
Wait, journalists have to cite their sources now? Anyway, so
So,
anything
yeah, do
else?
you have.
Anything else to talk about, really? I mean, the Wings start the season against Buffalo, so as we all know, the Wings playing a shitty team at the home opener, they're gonna lose, so deal with it. So they'll probably, and I'm guessing they'll lose 5-3 on a Samuelson hat trick, of course, because that's how the world works for me sometimes. So.
Well, it'll
But
be good for
that's.
Samuelson to get all of his goals out at the beginning, right?
And then probably a goddamn contract extension, too, just to fuck with me. Anyway, so. Yeah, have anything. I have nothing. I really have nothing else to talk about at this moment, so.
I think we've covered it. We've covered the Wings and we covered, you know, the upcoming season and we covered poop and, you know, work, a
And
little bit of Griffins.
because we joked about this earlier, and we should talk about it as well, someone peed on his Buffalo Sabres jersey, and they're going to wear it, so now we have to pee and poop.
Oh my God. Speaking of Buffalo, naming two captains.
Yeah, the fuck, bro.
What the hell? And not only two captains, you picked Steve Ott as your captain?
Well, they gave
One
it
of
to,
your
they gave it.
captains?
They gave it. They were gonna give it to John Scott, but he couldn't spell the letter C. So,
Just how bad is your team and your organization, and how fucked up are things if Steve Ott is one of your captains? Not an alternate captain, but one of your team captains.
it's Buffalo. They signed Foligno and then didn't buy him out when they had the chance.
I didn't even know a team could name two captains.
Well, they can't play at the same time. I can't be captain at the same time, but yeah, it's stupid.
They
It's
do like
Buffalo.
rock, paper, scissors before the game to see
God,
who's
and they're gonna,
captain.
when they beat the Wings tomorrow, I mean, it's not that they're losing to a bad team, it's just they're so bad. Like I said, and also the Wings, I don't know when they play Calgary, but they're going to lose to them at least once, probably twice. Hoping we get a loser point out of it. That's kind of the goal right now, because the Wings do really bad against shitty teams.
So does that mean we can beat the Islanders and the Blue Jackets now because they're not nearly as shitty as they were?
I think so.
We can finally beat them. Yes.
Not all the time, but if you play, I think we're going to play them each 3 times a year. Out of the 6 points, hopefully we'll get at least three.
All right. Well, I mean, that's better than,
None.
from previous years.
Yes.
God.
All right, we should probably end this before it turns into an even bigger train wreck.
Okay, so say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Kevin.
And we will see you guys later. Thanks for listening.